throughout history, a lot of communication has been done face-to-face and one-on-one through music, through rallies, through meetings, through organizing and bringing people together. And somebody that has done more of that than anybody I know, and frankly, more of that than about anybody in the world living today, is Ann Feeney. And I'm so happy to have you here. Hello.
I wasn't following that, Larry. You said I did more email than anybody in history.
No,
that might be true.
That could be true,
sometimes
too.
Sometimes it feels that way.
More organizing, more bringing people together.
That's sweet. That's wonderful of you to say. I was thinking when you were going through that, my friend Cecil Roberts, who's the president of the mine workers, says, "Now, do you think that the Israelites sent Pharaoh a fax? Do you think that the Israelites sent Pharaoh an email? Do you think the Israelites left voicemail for him? Do you think the Israelites clicked their way to freedom, brothers and sisters?" No, they did not. They had to go right to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." So he's one of the great organizers around.
Just got back from Guatemala 2 days ago.
3 o'clock in the morning, not yesterday, but the day before.
What were you doing there?
My son Dan is down there working on he was down there for 10 days. We came back together. But he got a fellowship from Georgetown University, where he's in law school, to go down with 7 students to look at the incredible impact that these mass deportations of young kids to Guatemala is having on Guatemalan society. And pretty much what our Homeland Security and ICE is doing is just rounding up any young kid in any city that has a tattoo, calling him a gang member, and deporting him back to Guatemala. Some of these kids have been in the United States for 15, 18, 20 years, have very little Spanish, no connection at all to their own country, and they come back on these unmarked planes to the Guatemala airport, and they're interned there for a little bit and then just tossed out on the street with no money, no direction, nowhere to go. And it's having a catastrophic impact on society in Guatemala City. Anyway, it's just such a thrill as a mother to see my son so confident and so engaged in such important work. Really, I'm tearing up just thinking about it.
Yeah, I am too, just because I can remember him when he was, you know, calling us at the age of 6, 7 years
yes.
old. Yeah.
Well, actually, and I can't let this morning go by without mentioning, I feel a lot better this morning than I did 26 years ago. That was the day my daughter Amy was born.
Oh, my
this
goodness.
Is her birthday. She's down at the Little Folk Festival at Kerrville over Labor Day weekend this year. So she'll have to stream this later to hear how much I love her and how much I'm thinking about her on her birthday. She's studying to be a massage therapist down in Texas and having a great time.
Excellent. Everybody's bringing peace to people.
It's true. And she's wildly in love with a great bass player from a wonderful band called Green Mountain Grass that I had in Pittsburgh. I did a house before I moved into my house. I had a house concert for Amy's boyfriend's band, but they're really wonderful.
Now, Anne's going to sing in a moment, but I really want to try to provide some context here for people who may not know you, especially because of our additional audience on stations that may not be familiar with you. And in a typical year or just in a year, how many cities and gigs do you think you may play? And can you give us a sense of where your work has taken you?
I'll tell you, Larry, I just feel so lucky. I heard you talking about career changes. And as you well know, I slaved along as a trial lawyer for 12 years before I finally got the nerve to just go follow my dream and do my heart's work. And I've been out singing for picket lines and rallies and riots and conferences and conventions and coffee houses and colleges and elementary schools on a pretty relentless circuit, especially since the kids grew up. Pretty much since 1995, I have been doing music at a relentless rate. Last year, I probably worked 260 dates, and it kind of works out. I was thinking, you know, Dan got married in Pasadena on June 14th, so I went out there for his wedding, and the middle of that week, I was in Las Vegas at Circus Circus for a week playing the convention of the National Organization of Legal Services Workers, and then I flew up to Portland and picked up a rental car and went straight to Vancouver, where I played the British Columbia Health Employees Workers Union. They had just celebrated this amazing victory. The Canadian Supreme Court has held that collective bargaining is an inalienable human right, right up there with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness embodied in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So that was, I mean, we're so far away from that here in this country. But I played their convention, and then I went over to Vancouver Island, one of the most beautiful places in the world, and did a house concert for the Victoria Folk Song Society and played for this wonderful fellow named Longevity John, who's got himself a little black box theater in Duncan. And then I played all the Puget Sound little towns there, Port Townsend and Bellingham. And, you know, it's so beautiful up there. I did a fundraiser for a friend of mine who was running for city council in Seattle. I was back out in San Diego. I've had a real interesting new development. My friend Jerry Starr, whom you may well know too.
Oh, yeah, Jerry Starr, if you don't know him, he's been very active in, gosh, I can't wait to hear this, because one of his key interests is in local media.
Yes, and, well, he certainly was a giant in that struggle to try to save Channel 16. But Jerry wrote a fabulous play about the Sago mine disaster. And he sent me the script, and I said, Jerry, this play needs music. And he agreed. So we did one performance of this show, one reading of the show in Pittsburgh last December. But we've been working on the play. You know, Jerry's just been adding what needs to be added and taking out things that don't need to be there. We now have an absolutely mesmerizing play that's very moving about the transformation of these miners' wives from women who were afraid to find out what their husbands did at work to women who became experts on mine safety and got a landmark mine safety law passed. Unfortunately, it was scheduled to be implemented at such a slow rate because of the timidity of our elected officials that its provisions were not in full effect in time to save these miners out in Utah.
And it's that'll be a neat project.
Well, we've been doing a lot of it. I just did four performances of it in San Diego, and that got such great reviews that we're planning on 2008 and doing productions in Boston, in Detroit, in Chicago, in San Francisco, and it looks like all of those things will come together. So that'll be part of my 2008. And in 2008, I'm leading three fan trips to Western Ireland.
Oh my God.
Music, politics, poetry, and history.
Oh my goodness.
In Western Ireland. So this might be a good time to tell people how they could find me.
Sure, absolutely.
If you have a pen, I'll tell you how to spell my name. It's Anne with an E, A-N-N-E, Feeney, F like freedom, E-E-N-E-Y, Anne Feeney. And my website is annefeeney.com. But if you're driving along, please don't try to write that down. You could just go to Google and type in Union Woman Hellraiser, and I would be the first thing that came up. So,
I always remember how to spell your name by using every E possible.
There's one you could. I just pulled up to a gig after telling me, when in doubt, just to add an E.
Yeah,
I get
exactly
to the gig, and it says tonight, Anne, A-N-N-E, Feeney, F-E-E-N-E-Y-E.
Well, you're in for a treat. We'll talk with Anne a little bit more. Jan Boyd is here, too, and I'm so happy you brought her.
Yes. Well, Jan and I have a really hard time getting play dates. I called her, and she said, how long are you in town? I said, I don't know. And she said, well, how about if I come over to your house at 8 in the morning and we have breakfast together, and then we can go over to the radio station? So we kind of did that, sort of.
I'm happy. We built the studio to be just that casual, so I'm happy that we could do that. Let's have you play.
I think what I'll start off with is a song that I wrote many years ago. It was funny, when I wrote Have You Been to Jail for Justice, I was playing it for people, and I said, does this melody sound familiar to you? And they said, no, I never heard it. I stole it from this song that I wrote about 15 years ago. So this is the melody I stole for Have You Been to Jail for Justice. But it's a true story. This Labor Day weekend, it might be nice for us to take into stock the fact that there's a lot of blood on the streets of Pittsburgh over the last 150 years that was shed so that we would have a weekend, so that we'd have Social Security, so that we'd have vacations, so that we would someday have health care, Medicare. Almost every wonderful thing that I can think about in this society came to us through the sacrifices of people that are gone before us. And it's a good thing to remember them this Labor Day. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember an activist from out in Arnold, Pennsylvania. She was originally from St. Louis and worked in garment, but she ended up in Western Pennsylvania and took a job for John L. Lewis working as a mine workers organizer. She had been working for the Pennsylvania Department of Welfare, and her job was to go around to the homes where
a worker had been killed and interview the surviving spouse to find out how she intended to support the children now that the breadwinner was dead. And if the widow could not demonstrate what Pennsylvania called a visible means of support, her children were removed from her and put in orphanages and eventually farmed out to the glass and mining industries. My Uncle Joe was not an orphan in any traditional sense that we understand it, but because of the poverty of his family, he was removed, put in an orphanage, and did industrial work as a young boy. And, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for this Labor Day, for the sacrifices that working people made on our behalf, and I'm going to sing to you about one of them. Her name is Fanny Sellins.
In labor's glorious history was many a union made who stood up to the bosses so staunch and unafraid. Molly Jackson, Mother Jones fought for a better way, but I'll sing of Fanny Sellins and remember her today. All over Pennsylvania, Fanny spread the union word. In the coal fields and the company towns, her voice of hope was heard. United we will bargain, but divided we must beg. Fanny Sellins spread the dreams of the UMWA. A widow with four children toiling 80 hours a week found time to fight injustice and bring power to the meek. She fought with tireless energy, no duty would she shirk. Though murderers cut short her life, we carry on her work. In the company slums of Ducktown in the summer of 19, an unarmed striking miner was gunned down by deputies. When Fanny cried out, spare his life, they shot her down as well. Hundreds watched in horror as this fearless woman fell. Now the ones who gave the orders faced no charge of any sort, and the men who pulled the triggers were acquitted by the court. But when companies own the courthouse, justice fails for you and me. So let's work like Fanny Sellins now for true equality. A widow with four children toiling 80 hours a week found time to fight injustice and bring power to the meek. She fought with tireless energy, no duty would she shirk. Though murderers cut short her life, we carry on her work. Though murderers cut short her life, we carry on her work.
It's terrific. I just want to listen to you play and play and play. Ann Feeney is here. Jan Boyd, you heard, doing harmony. It's fun to see kids in the Clifford exhibit dancing as you play about Fanny Sellins.
Right. Yeah, back to Fanny Sellins. So if you live out along the Allegheny River there, out around Tarentum or whatever, out in Arnold, Fanny Sellins is buried. And that story sort of picked up from what I was saying. She got really depressed doing the work that she did removing kids from these homes. And so when John L. Lewis asked her to organize for the mine workers, she said, absolutely. And she was 47 years old during the Great Steel Strike of 1919 here in Pittsburgh. And I'm sure she worked with my grandfather on that strike, and Mother Jones and Phil Murray, a lot of names that ought to be known around here. But as they gunned down a miner in cold blood in front of her eyes, he was still alive, and they were preparing to shoot him again. And she put herself in between him and the guns, and so they shot her too. Fanny wore big hats, and everyone knew her by her hats, Mrs. Sellins and her hats. And so after they killed her, they took her hat and one of the and beat in her head, just really destroyed her appearance. And the man who shot her dead put her hat on and said, "I'm Mrs. Sellins now." It was one of the most outrageous, the brutality and injustice that we read about in the papers today has been going on for a very long time. Anyway, Fanny's buried out there in Arnold. You can visit her grave, and there's a monument there. There are so many monuments around Pittsburgh that recognize our labor history. If you'd like to know more about them, there's a fabulous Pennsylvania Labor History Society, and while its meetings are all over the state, they're going to be honoring the work of Crystal Eastman, a pioneering feminist from Pittsburgh, who was one of the first people to work on workplace health and safety issues. She was a founder of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. I think, you know, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, history, boring. It's only boring because they make us learn stupid stuff in school. We learn the history of the ruling class of United States of America. But when you find out our real history and our roots and the tremendous energy and dedication and sacrifices and bravery of ordinary people, living history becomes quite fun.
This is Ann Feeney. This is the Saturday Light Brigade. I'm going to turn it over to Ann to make sure we get lots of music in. I'm going to sort of go to the background here and make sure you can get a few songs in, since since we need to end around 5 to 12 or so, and gosh, time really flies. I haven't seen Ann in such a long time. What are you going to do next?
Oh, I think I'll sing. Well, it's hard to say. Maybe I'll sing you a song from the Sago play.
Sure. So, well, it's up to you, whatever you'd like.
I know. So many songs, so little time. 15 minutes. What am I singing for y'all?
Oh, 20. You got 20. That's an extra 5 songs.
Well, you know, the whole West Virginia community around Sago is very devout. And when they found out, actually, when they found the first miner dead in the mines, the community burst out into a spontaneous chorus of "How Great Thou Art." And I just thought, man, I wish they would pay more attention to the gospel I'm listening to. So I wrote a gospel song, and I know you're all sitting at home, so you're just going to have to sing along, and I'm going to have to believe you're singing along, because I don't want Larry to sing along. I'm just kidding. You can sing along. Last night as I lay tossing and a-turning in my bed, I dreamed that I was in the presence of the Lord with a dozen Sago miners who had gone to their reward. God looked down on those miners and he said, "Who has sent my faithful servants here unbidden to my throne? He will answer on that judgment day. Who has left their grieving families heartbroken and alone? He will answer on that judgment day. Oh, he will answer on that judgment day. He will answer on that judgment day. Yes, he will answer on that judgment day. He will answer on that judgment day. I have fashioned those who labor in my image, God did say. I did not call these miners home to me. Many years I had allotted them with friends and family. Now the heavens weep to hear their orphans pray. You cannot serve God and mammon if it's mammon that you choose. You will answer on that judgment day. Now what good is all your wealth if your eternal soul you lose? You will answer on that judgment day. Oh, you will answer on that judgment day. You will answer on that judgment day. Yes, you will answer on that judgment day. You will answer on that judgment day. It is easier to get a camel through a needle's eye than a rich man into heaven, it's been told. Every time a human life's cut short by avarice for gold, there will be a day of judgment by and by. Now if you've garnered earthly riches and you come to heaven's door, you will answer on that judgment day. To serve God, you must renounce your wealth and share it with the poor, or you will answer on that judgment day. Yes, you will answer on that judgment day. You will answer on that judgment day. Oh, you will answer on that judgment day. You will answer on that judgment day. To serve God, you must renounce your wealth and share it with the poor, or you will answer on that judgment day. Hallelujah. It's been fun. You know, the audiences start singing along at that at the play. I know a lot of you went to Vacation Bible School and you're ready to sing along with me on these songs, and I hope you are at home. You know, but the thing I think about the labor movement, you know, people, the labor movement is getting such terrible media treatment, pretty much like everything else that's decent and good and worthwhile in this society. And I want people to realize that there has never, ever in the history of the world been such a peaceful, nonviolent social engine to end poverty The labor movement's it. It's incredible. It lifted millions and millions of people of all races, immigration, status, and everything else from dire poverty to create, you know, the most amazing middle class in the history of the world here in this country. And as we watch unions being systematically wiped out by greedy corporations that are subsidized to move our jobs offshore and can go wherever they want, ignoring child labor standards and prison labor laws and child labor protections, environmental, I think I said that already. You know, as we watch that, we just have to realize that when we had strong unions in this country, that didn't happen. And now that our unions have been wiped out, every 23 minutes in this country, someone is fired for union activity. And you know, people think, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, yeah, we needed unions once, but now they're irrelevant. Yeah, unions are irrelevant now because we all have 8 weeks paid vacation and we all have a wonderful livable wage that allows us to enjoy the fruits of our labors. And we all have family and medical leave to spend time with our children and our families when they're ill. And we all have a secure retirement. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have any of that stuff. I forgot. Right. I guess we still need unions. So here's a song from my friend Charlie King that always, it's one of my favorite labor songs.
I was listening to my radio, a news report from Louisville. American Express thought it might build a factory to make and track their credit cards. 2,000 jobs for honest and hard-working folk who'd never use the cards they make all day. But they wouldn't pick a city for their plant until they asked a question I recall from way back when. To head off conflict and subversion, they asked every working person, are you now or have you ever been? Are you now or have you ever been a member of a union? Are you now or have you ever been? I never thought I'd see the day I'd hear those words come round again. Are you now or have you ever been? Hard at work but soft on unions, that's the average Louisvillian, American expressly stated in their press release. Our site selection test committee recommends some other city where business rolls in profits and the unions rest in peace. Every day that question sounds a little more familiar as another union battle flag descends. Ask any airline traffic tracker, millwright, miner, or meat packer, are you now or have you ever been? Are you now or have you ever been a member of a union? Did your father, mother, uncle, cousin wear a union pin? I never thought I'd see the day I'd hear those words come round again. Are you now or have you ever been? Corporate planners dutifully bought the folks of Louisville a one-way nowhere fare on the American Express. Now will you leave the driving to the bosses? Make concessions, take the losses. Our unions have the disappearing railroad blues. Unless we dare to use the power we've been sitting on for years. We're strong enough to call their bluff, my friends. Just take your lousy plant and shove it. Yes, I'm union, damn proud of it. I am now and I have always been. Are you now or have you ever been a member of a union? With your sisters and your brothers, will you struggle to be free? When the question comes around, will you stand in solidarity? Oh, I am now and I will always be. Are you now or have you ever been a member of a union? Are you now or have you ever been?
I suppose some of you might not even know what I was talking about, but when I was a little girl and got home from school, my mom used to be there doing the ironing, just riveted to the television, watching a very nasty man named Joseph McCarthy, who would haul every idealist in the United States in front of this committee and ask them, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? And Some of the people were members, most of them weren't. Pretty much anybody with any kind of principles or dedication trying to build a better society in this country was tarred with this red label and removed from power in the unions here in Pittsburgh and all over the country. So I love that song. It really always chokes me up when I hear it because that's a true story. They were trying to build the American Express was looking for a new location for their plant, and the question on their application was, are you now or have you ever been a member of a union? Holy cow.
Charlie King's a great writer, too.
He's
done a lot of great
too.
Songs. And it's amazing to, you know, whether labor excites you or not, to think of labels and classifications and decisions and prejudices that are based on simplistic questions like that that really have no right being asked anyway. And it's going on in all sorts of aspects of life these days. And
that's what I work in high schools. You know, I'll walk into the high school and I'll say to these kids, so tell me this. Say, how many of you are going to get a job when you leave school? Or college kids even, you know, so all their hands go up. Say you found a job that you really, really liked and you'd been working at it for 8 or 9 years. And you went out one day and got your eyes examined and got a new pair of glasses and came back to work and your boss looked at you and said, those are the ugliest glasses I've ever seen. You're fired. Could he do that? And they all sit there staring at me and I say, come on, how many people think your boss can fire you if he doesn't like your glasses? And not a single hand in the room goes up. I said, why not? And they don't understand that we live in a society where we have what's called employment at will. And your boss can't fire you for being black. He can't fire you for your religion. He can't fire you for your gender or your disability or perceived disability. But he can fire you if he doesn't like your glasses. So if you're black and he doesn't want you there, do you think he's going to fire you because you're black? No, he's going to fire you because he doesn't like your glasses. And it's going to be up to you to prove that he fired you because. You know, so, I mean, it's such a tenuous society. And we've just watched millions of people across this country who were hardworking, loyal, dedicated, wonderful people lose their jobs, lose their homes, lose their pensions. And we sleep through all of this and go out and buy Powerball tickets. I just don't get it. You know, so that's my message. I think when people hear the truth, they recognize it and they go, oh, yeah. Yeah, but the problem is we live in a culture that doesn't reinforce this idea of working together. Every bit of commercial radio that you hear, any music that you hear is something that's designed to sell you something. So if you want to hear music that tells you that you need to reach out to your neighbors and work together to build a better world, you have to listen to community radio and wonderful shows like Saturday Light Brigade. So it looks like we're just about out of time. Am I right? Do we have time for one more or two more?
Two more, I think.
Two more. All right. Well, let's see. Which two should I do?
By the way, this is Ann Feeney, if you're just tuning in. And singer-songwriter, heck-raiser, organizer. She's been around forever. I'm
forever.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm older than dirt, folks.
Oh, you're not older than dirt.
I'm 56 years old, and I am having the time of my life. And I hope all of you who are there saying, oh, you know, I wish I'd done this. It's not too late. You know, Dorothy Day was still getting arrested on picket lines in her 80s. So here's a song about something that there was blood on the streets of Chicago to win for us 100 and some years ago. And now, what the heck, where are we? I was a welder pulling down 40,000. For all I know, that job's in Burma now. I'm out working for the minimum wage. I'm wondering, whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Oh, whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Who feeds a family on one person's pay? I can't take much more, I've just got one thing to say. Whatever happened to the 8-hour day? We got no time for the house, for the kids. An 80-hour week will put your life on the skids. There's only one thing gonna take it away. Whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Yeah, whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Can't feed a family on one person's pay. I can't take much more, I've just got one thing to say. Whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Oh, the company keeps telling us we want too much. All those cats on top sure have the Midas touch. Their economy's booming, oh, that's what they say. It's 'cause I work twice as hard to bring home half of the pay. The kids need attention, the house is a mess. Our marriage is buckling from all of this stress. I can't take much more, I've just got one thing to say. Whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Oh, whatever happened to the 8-hour day?
pensions and health care, overtime pay. I'm fed up to hear, I've just got one thing to say. Whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Whatever happened? You tell me.
So, I want to invite you all to please, 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 please stay in touch with me. Sometimes I feel like I don't even live in Pittsburgh anymore. I've run into people and they go like, oh, yeah, you used to sing. So you just quit, huh? No, I haven't quit. I'm working harder and longer and faster and having more fun than ever. And I'd love to stay in touch with my Pittsburgh folks and get to meet the people I haven't met before around here. So please come to my website. And if you feel an urge to renounce some of your wealth and share it with the poor, my CDs are available on CD Baby. I send out this once a month email newsletter. No salesman will call. It's called the Fellow Travelers Advisory. And you can find out more about my adventures last week in Guatemala and what's going on with the Swedish labor movement and things that you just don't see on Fox News much. I try to keep lots of good news in there. I'm going to close out with my big hit. It's called Have You Been to Jail for Justice? And my friends, as Cecil Roberts said, you can't click your way to freedom. We wouldn't have what we had today if there hadn't been plenty of people willing to go out and break unjust laws to get better ones.
Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You law-abiding citizens, listen to this song. Laws were made by people, and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote, and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. A rotten law stays on the books till folks like us defy it. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. Now the law's supposed to serve us, and so are the police. When that system fails, it's up to us to speak our piece. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. So get courage from your convictions. Let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go to jail for justice? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.